Hello, my name's Mike Talty. I work for Microsoft in the UK. And this is one of a series of short screencasts taking a bit of a tour of the networking stack in the Silverlight 4 beta using Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. We had a bit of a look at some raw HTTP stuff, and we had a bit of a look at some socket stuff, and we had a bit of a look at some WCF stuff. When we looked at WCF, we looked at HTTP. So this is a request response protocol. The client opens up a connection to the server, sends a request, gets back a response, and that's kind of it. The connection is closed and gone, and no one's really maintaining any state around that. Over TCP, this is a connected protocol, so we open a socket from the client to the server, we keep that socket open, and duplex messages flow nicely backwards and forwards across that. And we saw that in our example of moving a mouse around on the screen and sending events backwards and forwards. There's a third way in WCF for Silverlight, which is kind of a mixture of the two. So what I want to look at here is this idea of WCF over polling duplex protocol, which is an HTTP protocol. So what this does is it opens an HTTP connection from the client to the server, but it keeps it open such that the server can actually send messages back to the client. Rather than just one response, it can send more messages back to the client. And via that, WCF gives you a duplex programming model over a request response protocol. It keeps that connection open for some period of time, and then it drops that connection and reopens it again on a poll. And sometimes this is known as a long poll, because you open the connection, you keep it open for a while, and then you repoll and do it again and again. So we'll take a look at that here. We won't spend too long on it. The thing I'd say is that it does mean that you have some state to hold on the server side. So that has implications around how you can scale this out in a web farm, for instance. And it also means keeping a socket connected between the client and the server. So that has implications, again, around using resources on the server side. So the beauty of HTTP is you make a request, you make a response, everything is blown away at the end of that, which means you can just scale it out on a web farm really, really easily. TCP, the beauty of that is that you've got this absolutely just pure duplex communication channel. So you keep your connection open and there's no latency or anything. You don't have to poll, but you're using resources on the server side. And this is sort of halfway in between the two, really. You're using resources on the server side, but you're not having to mess around with your network infrastructure because you've got HTTP connectivity. But you are having to hold some status, say, on the server side. You can find some great articles out there with sort of performance characteristics of the polling duplex channel if this is something that you're considering, and even comparing with the TCP channel, if TCP is an available protocol for you. Okay, so let's switch over to Visual Studio and have a look at this. Okay, so if you watched the previous video where we're looking at WCF over TCP, you'll remember my very sort of simple duplex example. And I've kind of stuck with that here. I wanted to take the code from that and move it to this polling duplex protocol. So that's really what I did, rather than writing some new example. So you'll notice, let's take a look at the server side of this. You've seen this before, hopefully. Let's just spin this thing up. So if we debug this application, it's the same, in quotes, application that we've been using all along, in that it's just a little form that puts a circle on the screen. Where is it? Let's just let it spin up. There it is. So it's just a little form, puts a circle on the screen, and the circle follows the mouse pointer around. And the idea is that a Silverlight client can connect to this, and it will also get these events about the mouse moving around the screen. And vice versa, the Silverlight client can send its events into this WPF application. So it's a full WPF application running on the desktop, I should say, just in case you thought it was a Silverlight client. Okay, so that application is implemented here. And you've actually probably seen the code for this before. I haven't really changed it. I don't think I've changed it hardly at all. I'll say what I have changed it for in a second. In order to make this work with the duplex protocol, one thing I did was that protocol is implemented in a particular assembly. So let me just go and find that for you. That will be in C program files, Microsoft SDKs. Let's just find that. And I went into Silverlight, I went into version 4, I went into libraries, and I went into server. There's only one library in there, System Service Model Polling Duplex. And I took that assembly and I installed it into my GAC. So I actually GAC utiled on that assembly in order to install it, in order that I could use that from my application. It's worth saying that whilst I'm using a separate executable here, everything that we're doing here is equally applicable inside of IIS, and that's probably where you'd usually do it. It just so happened that I already had this example running around, as you know, so I kind of modified it from where it was before. So in using this example before, what we've done is built this WPF application. It has this contract, a WCF contract, that says, I am a service contract. It's a bad name, but I called it I incoming contract. And the client, which is going to be the Silverlight client, can send us a point, an X and Y coordinate, and that's where we'll move our little red circle to. And also on the service contract, you can call back from the service to the client using this callback contract. If you take a look at that, then very simply the callback contract simply says the service can send a point back to the client. So it couldn't be a lot simpler than that, really. We have those two contracts. We've implemented them. So I've implemented the contract on this service here. You can see here is the service. It implements the incoming contract. And essentially, the rest of the application is kind of divorced from this service. So when the rest of the application wants to send a point across to its client, i.e. At the point where somebody has moved the mouse, then what it does is call this method here. And at the point where we get a new coordinate from a client, we fire this event here. So this service kind of is a divorced entity from the rest of the application. So essentially, we wait for the client to send us a point. The client has to initiate this communication. When it sends us a point, we check to see if we've already grabbed its callback contract. And if we haven't, we grab it using WCF here. And then simply fire our event saying, hey, the client sent us a point. And that will cause the UI to update the position on the screen. Similarly, when the mouse moves on the screen, this function gets called. And we check to see if we have a callback interface, and if we do, we send our point across to the client. And that is the two-way communication protocol between this application and the client application. It's kind of as simple as that, really. Not much more to it. We have some hosting code. Let me show you that for a second. So in order to spin this up with WCF, when the application runs up, it creates one of those services we've just seen. It handles its point received event such that when a point is received from a client, we update our coordinate on the screen. And then it creates one of these using the standard service host mechanism in WCF. So this was all in the TCP video, but there's changes here in this particular video for using the polling duplex HTTP channel. So let's go ahead and have a look at that. It all happens in the configuration file. And let's take a look at this. So polling duplex is something that the Silverlight people ship in their SDK, so it's not built into WCF on the server side. And so what I've had to do is register an additional binding extension for the polling duplex HTTP binding. And I've given that a type, and I'm picking up the version 4. I'm picking up the version 4 version of that. And that allows me to use this polling duplex HTTP binding down here, so that allows us to do that thing. We then say we've got our service. That's the service I just showed you. It is available on HTTP localhost 8080 point service. And it's using that polling duplex HTTP binding, and it offers the contract that I showed you. We're also switching metadata on for that service, and we offer that on localhost 8080 metadata. Okay, so we can go up to that thing. Let's just spin it back up, and we can ask it for metadata. Let's just spin it up again. So there he is. And if we go to a browser, let's go find a browser. We can go to HTTP localhost 8080. I've already got it there, see? Metadata. And boom, there's our metadata that we're going to be able to use to add a service reference to this thing. So that's fine. Let's shut it down for a second. There's something else crafty going on in here, though. My application is listening on port 8080. So you can just see here it's listening on point 8080 slash point service. But I want to ultimately call this from a Silverlight application. And my Silverlight application is being hosted by this website up here. And this website is listening on port 32768. So consequently, when we go from the Silverlight application and try and call out over HTTP to the WPF application, we're going from port 32768 to port 8080. And this is a cross-domain call. And you'll know that when we make cross-domain calls, Silverlight goes and looks for a client access policy file. And when we were working with IIS, that was very simple because we just went to the root of our web server and implemented a client access policy file. But here what we're going to have to do, because our WPF application is listening on localhost 8080, we need to go to the root of localhost 8080 and offer a policy file. Now there's a number of different ways I could have done this. The way I've done it here, because we're just using self-hosting this way, was I've actually built it into my WPF application. So just using a bit more WCF, I've made this separate WPF desktop application actually return the policy file as well. So the way I've done that is just by having an additional interface. So this one here, I handle policy. It's a service contract with an operation contract. I'm using the web invoke attribute that I think arrived in .NET Framework 3.5 to do sort of more restful services with WPF. And I've just got this operation return policy which returns a link to XML X element. But if you notice, it says when you're invoking this, this is the name to use, client access policy.xml. And I need you to use a get, and I don't want any wrapping around the stuff that I send back. So that's kind of making this work okay. I've implemented that over here somewhere, this guy here. We have this policy handler which returns policy by simply loading up a file called policy.xml. And if you notice, here is policy.xml that says I allow any HTTP methods, any request headers in order to make my SOAP stuff work from any domain. And then finally, we have to configure that up and start it. So in our application code here, I use the web service host to offer instances of my policy handler, and I open that host up. That also, of course, needs configuration, and our configuration says we are offering that policy handler service at localhost 8080, so that's the root of that web there, over the web HTTP binding for the iHandle policy contract, and we're configuring that with a behavior which is just saying we've got the web HTTP behavior. So all of that really enables, let's just go and re-spin this thing back up, all of that really enables the fact that if we are to point a Silverlight client at this application, so there's the application running up, let's just go to a browser again. If we point a Silverlight client at that application from a different port, then what it's going to do is it's going to go to 8080/client-access-policy and request that file, and that is there being served up by that WPF desktop application. So just kind of an interesting sort of side point, really, because we didn't do this in IIS, which was because I already had the application kicking around. All right, so hopefully that explains enough about the WPF application that's acting as a server. If you've been following these videos along, you'll know that we also have a Silverlight client. So there's a website here that serves up the Silverlight client, which is here. And the Silverlight client has been abstracted from the details of communicating with the server by this little class here called communication. So communication, essentially when the client, the Silverlight client, wants to send a point across to the server, it calls this function here, and it expects that when the server wants to send a point back to the client, this event here will be fired, and that's kind of it really. So our job now is to connect those two things together, as we've done in different screencasts along the way with this particular series. And the way we can do that is by adding a service reference. So I need my metadata. Let's spin up my socket server. I'm just going to run this outside of Visual Studio. So let's just pop into the debug folder here and run this guy up. Let's get rid of that. So he's sitting there listening. And so consequently, I should be able to go to my Silverlight client and add a service reference. And we should be going to HTTP localhost 8080/metadata. Let's bang that into there. And click go. And hopefully that will go off and whir and find as a service. Let's call this code proxy code. I'm just checking my advanced options for a second to see if there's anything hidden away in here I should be checking. No, I don't think so. That should be okay. So let's go ahead and okay that. And we'll get a proxy made on the client side. Now you might notice client side that the generation tool was smart enough to go and register some service model extensions and the polling duplex protocol. So those are Silverlight assemblies rather than the one we referenced, one we registered in the GAC for the server. And then we get proxy generation, And let's take a look in our app.config. Yeah, so our app.config is looking a little blank, and I think that's because there aren't corresponding, as far as I know, corresponding configuration elements to make this work on the client. So we're going to have to do a little bit of programming to make this work on the client. So let's go into our communication class, and let's go and see what the proxy is called. Okay, so we should have got a proxy code.incomingContractClient is what it's called. That's the right name for it. Let's just bring in the namespace for that so we don't have to keep typing that in. We'll call this proxy and we'll create one. And in creating one, we're going to have to pass it a binding and we're going to have to pass it an endpoint address because we're not getting this from config. So the binding is going to be the polling duplex HTTP binding. And actually, there's a security mode you can set on that, and I don't want any security on mine, so let's make sure. I'm not sure what the default is, but let's make sure that's switched off. Can we fit all that on one line? I'm going to go with that on one line. And then an endpoint address, so let's create one of those, an endpoint address, and we can give that HTTP localhost 8080 point service. Naturally, you'd want to put that into a configuration or a constant at least somewhere. And so we've now got our proxy in place. And so what we want to do is that in this application here, when somebody wants to send a point from the Silverlight client, we need to call proxy.begin. Oh no, we need to put that into a member variable. Let's just do that. Excuse me while we do that. And let's just get rid of that type name there. Okay. So what we'd want to do is proxy.begin, or client sends point async is what it's actually called. And we send the point.x and the point.y. That sends across to the WPF server. We should really also be handling client sends point completed. But I'll not handle that for the minute. We'll just leave it so that it's kind of less code on the screen. We also need to be firing our event when the server sends us a corresponding coordinate. So let's go ahead and handle proxy.server sends point received. So let's go ahead and say plus equals on server sends point. And let's just shorten that code down so that you can see that a little bit better on the screen. So on the callback channel, when the server calls us back, we're expecting this event over here. And all we really need to do there is fire our own event. So if point received is not equal to null, that's our own event, then we'll fire that event. We'll create an event args where we need to set the point that's been received. And that's going to be a new point where x is... Now we're getting up here an event args type, so we can just say e.x and y equals e.y. Okay, so we received that from the WPF application and we fire it into our own application as an event, and that's how the UI kind of syncs up to that. Okay, let's build, let's see how we get on with that. Okay, so let's see if we can spin that up. Let's press F5. And our Silverlight app spins up, and our WPF app spins up. And we should find that as we're moving stuff around on the Silverlight app, you see there's a bit of a lag on there. Those messages are coming back to the WPF application. And as we're doing the same thing on the WPF application, we're sending those messages across to the Silverlight application. So that's kind of the reverse communication from the server to the client, whereas this is the outgoing communication from the client to the server. So making that change from using one duplex protocol, which was TCP, which is obviously better suited for duplex, that really is what it is, moving from that protocol to using HTTP in this polling way, from a programming model perspective, is pretty easy. There's a bunch of config stuff we had to play with, but from a programming model perspective, it's pretty easy. And not really very much that we had to do in order to make that work. If we just shut that down, I mean, essentially all we really did was rewire our class here, which is very similar code to what we had on TCP, and then just make sure that our configuration was different for the client and the server. Now, just to try and illustrate a little bit as what's going on here, just so we can see the protocol a little bit, let me change this local host here to be my proper host name, and let me do the same thing on the configuration of the server. So that's the WPF application. Let's change this guy to be that, and this guy to be that, and this guy to be that. Actually, probably didn't need to change them all, but it doesn't really matter. And in the background here, I'm running the Fiddler tool, which is just an HTTP debugging proxy that we can use. Let's press F5, and we'll spin all both of those applications back up a little bit. And there's my WPF application, there's my Silverlight application. Now, as we move our mouse over here on the Silverlight application, let's go and take a look at what's going on in Fiddler. And you can see the HTTP activity that's going on in the background. Let's pick one of those, the last one there. And we can hopefully see, let's have a look. Whilst it's not decipherable, we can see something going from the client to the server as we do that. If we pick any one of those messages, we can see something going across there. And if we then were to go, actually, let's just have a look at the responses that we've got on these. So there's nothing kind of coming back on the response. If we then switch back to those two applications again, let's move the mouse over the WPF application on that side. And let's go back to Fiddler. Let's have a look at one of those messages. Let's grab one of those things. Then we can see that, perhaps I wasn't expecting that. Well, we can definitely see that something, again, is coming back from the server to the client at that point. I'm not quite sure about what's being sent from the client to the server in that case, but there is something coming back from the server to the client. So you can kind of see this is definitely happening over HTTP. It's not some kind of TCP trick that we're using. And you also see there was some other request at the start for the client access policy that came back. And you can see what client access policy came back from my application as well. So hopefully you get a bit of a flavour for this. As I say, this is somewhere between HTTP, which is stateless and very scalable and just serves out to web farms really easily, and TCP, which is full duplex protocol. It's somewhere in the middle of those two things. And there are some great articles out there on the web comparing where you'd use these different technologies and the sort of performance and scalability characteristics of them as well. Let's just shut that down, and that one, pop back to Visual Studio.